the book of Luke, and we're going to read from chapter 15. And we've already read the story of the lost sheep, and we've read the story of the lost coin. So let's read tonight the story of the lost sons. Luke chapter 15, and we'll read just for context, verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump down to verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And then verse 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine or feed pigs. And he would fain or almost have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came in and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I any time thy commandment, and yet thou hast never givest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, or prostitutes, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet for me, or meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Amen. Let's just ask the Lord to bless us tonight. Our loving Father, I want to thank you for everyone that's in the meeting this evening. I also want to thank you for those that are at home watching on Zoom. And I pray that tonight, whether here or at home, may we once again hear the sound of the voice of the Holy Spirit. I pray that that voice would speak very definitely and very clearly, and that, Lord, our hearts would be touched, and our hearts would be warmed, and our hearts would be blessed. Oh, Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for the precious Word of God. We thank you for the health and strength that we've enjoyed over this past week. We thank you for your blessing upon our country. And, oh God, we continue to pray for it, that you would protect us. Even this outbreak that there has been in the Limavady area, we pray that you'll contain that outbreak. And that, Father, that no life would be lost. And that, Father, this virus would not spread. We would commit it into your hands. And dear Lord, I noticed on my last round of visitation on phone that many are telling me about friends and loved ones who are not well with other problems. And oh God, we would commit other sicknesses, serious sicknesses, that Father are really even putting life in danger. We pray for all such tonight. You know the many that I was told about, and I commit them into your care, and may your blessing be upon them. Father, there are many other meetings like this, some inside buildings, some in drive-in services. We pray that you'll bless each one for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Amen. You know, tonight, we're going for our third look at this chapter. This is the chapter of lost things. And last week, we were looking at the four different ways that a sinner could get into the sinning life. He could do it just one event after another, like the sheep. Not really planning on it, but just going out there step by step, one step further and further and further, until that sheep is far away from the shepherd. We noticed how the coin was just fell. And there are some that plummet into sin, one event, and somehow they just fall into it. And then we noticed the son, and the son is different to the younger son is different to the sheep. His was a premeditated thing. He thought about it, considered it, decided that he wasn't going to stay at home anymore. And he got his money off his father, and away he went. And then we looked at the older brother. He'd never gone astray. He'd never broken his dad's commandments. But his heart was not right. And whenever that younger son came home, that heart was displayed. And he was so angry and so annoyed. But tonight I want now, this time, to look not at the sinner particularly in each of those stories, but I want to look at the one who was longing for the return. And I want that to be our focus this evening. And so in the first part of the chapter, we have the shepherd. The shepherd. And of course, the sheep that he talks about that has gone astray, that one ewe or ram or whatever it happened to be that had gone astray, that represented the publican or the sinner that was standing around listening to him. That's who it represented, the publican or the sinner. And that sinner was like that sheep, it's gone away, gone away. Maybe in various instances, they didn't do it deliberately, but just somehow, one step after another, they've got further and further and further away. But now at last, just like the shepherd seeking after a lost ewe, eventually their paths have crossed. And the moment has come. And just like the sheep being found by the shepherd, here the Lord Jesus Christ is finding these lost people that are gathered in front of him that he speaks to. You know, for the shepherd to find that sheep, he basically had to trace the steps that the sheep had taken, follow the path, go where he thought the sheep would have gone, and follow it until he came to where the sheep was lying, probably frightened, definitely weary. How do I know that? Because he had to carry it home. And you know, for us, this shepherd represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were the sheep that had gone astray. And he had to follow our path. I haven't time tonight to follow the path from the biblical point of view, take you to each verse that would prove what I'm saying. But the first thing that I would say to you, to be the shepherd who would find the lost sheep, he had to be a shepherd. He had to be born a man. He had to live a life that was sinless. He had to live a life that was prayerful. He had to show the way by his preaching. And he had to catch the attention of a lost world by his ministry. But to be the shepherd that would really rescue dying sheep, then he had to die himself. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us he had to be buried and he had to rise again. You know, folks, in his desire to rescue that lost sheep, he had to follow the path And in a sense, that's exactly what he did. He followed our path. He traveled the path that we were traveling. But he didn't have any sin of his own. He took ours. He didn't have a sinful nature. He took ours. He didn't have what we struggle with, but he took ours. And in every way, he was likened unto us. You know, the shepherd followed the path of that sheep, the way that it went astray. And as he followed it, eventually he found it. And the Lord Jesus Christ has followed the path of lost mankind. And today he's in a position to find lost sheep. Are you a lost soul tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ has traveled your path. But I notice the next thing is that the Savior calls upon the, first of all, you will see the shepherd's own heart in all of this. It says, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. This sheep has run so far. It has gotten so weary that the way back was impossible for him or her, depending whatever kind of sheep it was. And so he just picked that sheep up, and sheep are not light. And he put that sheep onto his shoulders, and he carried that weary yoke home. You know, sometimes we wonder, how could I get saved? How could I trust Christ as Savior? Is it difficult? You know, when we yield, if that sheep had any more strength to run, it would have kept running and running. But when we get to the point where we lie down and we let the shepherd come and catch us, he will put us on his shoulders, and we don't have to worry about the journey home. We don't have to worry about the journey home. But you know, this sheep is on his shoulders. And I could imagine, you know, him coming along and saying, boys, I've walked a long way after you, you silly yo. You've wearied me out. And now the weight of you on my shoulders is really exhausting. Why did you ever go astray? No. That's not what this verse says. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Hebrews tells us that wonderful book about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of his majesty on high. Why did he endure the cross? Because he looked forward to the joy of finding sheep. Why did he hang there in agony? Because he looked forward to the joy of finding sheep. Finding lost ones. He looked forward to that special moment when a lost one would come to the Savior. So he's absolutely thrilled about that. And so here he is. He's making his way home with the sheep across his shoulders. And he's not in the least bit miserable about it. He's not unhappy that he's had to go and make this rather unnecessary journey to look for this silly yo. No, he's thrilled. This is my sheep. It was lost. But this sheep is so precious. It is so special to me. I gladly made this journey, and I'm absolutely thrilled that I have found it. And now I'm carrying it home, and I'm happy. And when he gets home, the story tells us that he calls. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And then the Lord tells us more about it. He says in verse 7, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. We've already looked at that. But I just want to draw this thought out of it. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ? He's been to the cross. He's been to the tomb. He's done everything that would find sheep. And he's still looking for that sheep. And if one sheep were to be found tonight, even in this meeting, say, that the Lord Jesus would turn round to heaven and would say to everybody in heaven, rejoice with me. And when they look at the Lord to ask why, I have found another sheep which was lost. And can you imagine all the millions that are in heaven? Because the Bible tells us that there are millions of angels to start with. All the millions that are in heaven starting to praise, starting to rejoice, starting to skip with joy. And you ask why? Because someone on earth has repented. Someone on earth has repented. Okay. The second seeker that we have. So first of all, let me say, the shepherd represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The second seeker that we have in this chapter is a lady. And the lady has lost a coin. And she gets her brush and she gets her candle. She lights a light and then she starts to brush looking for that lost coin. Now, I believe that the Lord completely changes the gender here to try and differentiate that this shepherd, who's a man, is not the same person as the lady who is looking in the house. So you say to me, well, who could it be? Well, first of all, this lady lights a candle. In other words, she starts to shine a light. The second thing that this lady does is she begins to sweep the floor, knowing that in the dirt on that floor, and of course it would have been a clay floor, and that would have been very easy for her coin to be lost in the dirt. And so she begins to sweep that floor looking for that coin. Now, the cleaning and the shining of the light are ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whose job is it to shine the light today? Whose job is it to clean the heart today? Whose job is it to be the sweeper and the shiner of the light? And of course, that is the Holy Spirit. That is His job. So I believe that if the first parable, part of the parable, it's the shepherd who is the Lord Jesus Christ, then in the second part of the parable, it is the Holy Spirit that is in focus here, and He is the seeker looking for the lost coin. You know, again, the Holy Spirit, after He has found that lost coin, and again, that lost coin represents a lost soul. After that lost soul has been found, we are told, it says, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. This time the angels are excluded from the group. The previous time in verse 7, they were included. But just to make sure, we don't think it'll be just angels that will do the rejoicing. There are many others that are in heaven. God the Father's in heaven. God the Son's in heaven. God the Holy Spirit's in heaven. There are beasts in heaven. But oh, most importantly, all the saved ones that have died and have gone on to be with the Lord, they're in heaven. And so, whenever a sinner repents, the Lord gives a shout, rejoice. But the Holy Spirit gives a shout, rejoice with me. And both of them shout, we have found a sheep. We have found a coin. We have found a soul that was lost. I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell me, if anybody cared to ask, who is he? Or who is she? Bible doesn't give me that sort of detail. But if it did, can you think of dear ones in heaven who would be very happy if perhaps your name happened to be the one that was called? Would there be a mother or a father? Would there be a friend or a loved one? Or a relative that would go, praise God! I know that one. That's my son, my daughter, my nephew, my niece, my friend, my neighbor, my work colleague. That's somebody that I know. I'm just so thrilled. Oh, that lost soul has been found. Let's move on to the last seeker. And this time, he's different. He doesn't go looking in the sense that the shepherd left his other sheep and went way out into the wilderness looking for his lost sheep. And the lady got her brush and her candle and she looked for the lost coin. But this one just stays at home. But he's watching and watching and watching the horizon, looking for a lost son. You know, this father, in fact, this part of the story is a little different. You see, in the first one, Jesus says, what man of you, if you had 100 sheep, James, if you had 100 sheep and you lost one, would you go looking for it? Well, that's just what Jesus said. He says, what man of you had 100 sheep and if he lost one? So in other words, anybody that had sheep in the meeting, they were the ones that would know what he was talking about. So the ladies, you looked at them, if you had a coin and you lost it, would you not look for it? But this story is a true story. Verse 11, and he said, a certain man. And when you see that word certain, this story really happened. There was a man, maybe a widower, no mention of mother in this story, had two sons, and one of them left home, and one of them stayed. This really happened. But what the Lord did was he took this true story of this family and he made it into a parable where the son that went away represented all the publicans and sinners that was in the meeting in front of him. But the son that stayed at home represented the Pharisees and the scribes who never went away into the wild things of sin. Never went away. But here's a father. He's a real family man. He's a relatively wealthy man. He has a family. He has a farm. He has a house. He's got servants. He's got many things. But he has one big, big, big problem. And that is that he has a son that has left. He has a son that's in sin. He has a son that's not in the family. And you know, the Bible tells us that he watches. And he saw him a great way off and had compassion. And inside that father's heart was a longing, a compassion, a love, a desire. A desire. And you know, that compassionate father, when the son returns, he freely forgives him. Equally, whenever the other brother comes in from the field and he's not a bit happy that such a wonderful celebration had been put on for the returning prodigal, that he's angry and he refuses to come into the celebration and he stays outside the house and father goes out. And just as the father watches for the younger son who was lost, the father entreats the older son who was outside the house. He has a heart for both. A heart for both. And you know, if the first part of the parable represented Jesus Christ, and the second part of the parable represented the Holy Spirit, then the third part of the parable represents God the Father. God the Father. He is the Father. He sent His Son to be the seeking shepherd. And He has sent the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin. And so they have come down into our circumstances and into our situation. They have come, but He has stayed in a sense. Just as this Father stayed. But that Father cared every bit as much as the seeking Son and the seeking Holy Spirit. Cared every bit as much. You know, whenever that son came home, what did Father do? Father organized a celebration, a real party. He got music. They started to dance around the house with joy. We don't read that there were many opportunities to call too many friends. It just seemed to be the servants and the various ones that worked for them that he said to them, "Let us kill the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry." They didn't wait for it to have any events. Even the older brother didn't know that it was happening until it had started. Dad was determined that my rejoicing must start instantly. This is a moment that we cannot miss. This is a moment that we cannot miss. You know, I find it wonderful, I find it amazing, that when a sinner gets saved, angels rejoice. Those in the presence of the angels rejoice. Jesus, the great shepherd, rejoices. The Holy Spirit, the one that sweeps the house, rejoices. And the Father says, "Come, it is meet for us that we will be merry. We will be happy because this my son which was lost is found, is dead, is alive again." What is that saying to me? That is saying to me very simply this. That when a sinner repents, that is a very, very amazing, wonderful, precious, special thing, event in heaven. Very special. Very special. Very, very special. You know, remember that this is a real story. It's just an ordinary man with two sons. But I believe that that father was a very spiritual father. Because when the son came over the horizon, that father ran to meet him. Now that son had practiced and rehearsed what he was going to say. He was going to say, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And so whenever he gets to his father, he starts to go over what he has rehearsed. Verse 21, and he says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." And the father just stops him. "Right, bring the robe. Get the robe. Get the ring. Get the shoes. Kill the fatted calf." He didn't get a chance to tell him. He wanted to be just a hired servant. Didn't get a chance for that. But you know, this father, he's just an ordinary father. He's an ordinary man. He represents God, but he's an ordinary man. But he knows something's happening. By the language of his son, he realizes that, yeah, his son, if you had stopped him when he was away and he had money and he was in the far country and he was with the girls and he was having a wild time, if you had stopped him at that point and said, "Son, what do you think of your behavior?" He said, "Look, my behavior, this is excitement. I'm enjoying myself. This is great." But whenever the money ran out, when the food ran out, famine in the land, looking after pigs, he's in trouble. You'd have said to him, "Son, what do you think now?" You know, that at that point, he's doing a lot of thinking. Conscience has awakened. If you had spoken to him as he left home, he'd have said, "This money that's in the bag, I was going to get that anyway. That's my father's inheritance. He's going to give it to me anyway. It's mine." But by the time he's coming home, he knows that he has wasted his father's inheritance. And so he says a number of things that are very, very important. He says, first of all, Father, I have sinned against heaven. He knew that his wild lifestyle was sinning against the Lord. You know, dear folks, if you want such an encounter that would make heaven to be happy, then you need to repent, because it says here that there is joy over one sinner that repenteth. And repentance, first of all, means I am sorry again that I have done these things against the one who lives in heaven. That's the first part of his repentance. Having recognized that he sinned against God, then he turns to his father, and it doesn't take many words to say this. It's the heart that counts. And Father, I have sinned in thy sight. What I did there in running away from home was a sin against you as well. And sometimes our sin is of such a particular and pointed nature that there are individuals that we need to go to and say, look, I've sinned against God. I'm getting right with him, but I've also sinned against you, and I'm getting right with you. I've sinned against God, and I've sinned against thee. And then there's an attitude coming through. I don't deserve to be a son anymore. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, sometimes we almost think we deserve salvation. And so we'll say to God, I'll get saved a little bit old when I'm a little bit older, or a little bit this or a little bit of that. And we think if we can get time to do something else, and then we will, you know, and somehow in our mind we are plotting and planning our salvation. And that is not the attitude of repentance. The attitude of repentance is, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be given a second chance. I don't deserve love. But if Father would just allow me to be even a hired servant, I would happily accept that. And that is a lovely attitude, and one the Lord accepts. One the Lord accepts. You know, whenever the Father was speaking to his servants, he said, my son was lost. Oh yeah, he went away from home. Maybe he was thinking of that. But I don't believe that he was thinking about that, because he said he was lost and is found. And found means that you go looking for it. This father didn't go looking. He was lost, but God had found him. And then the second, and of course the Bible tells us, let me quote, this day is salvation come to this house, speaking about Zacchaeus. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But then another part of salvation, and a critical element of salvation, and without this salvation has never taken place. He said he was dead and is alive again. You know, dear folks, salvation always involves a resurrection. There is a bursting forth of new life. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 4, he said, you hath he quickened or resurrected or brought to life who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And I sincerely believe that this ordinary man with a wayward son knew that God had found his son, and knew that God had brought something that was dead to life in his son. And that's why he was talking the way he was talking. You know, if you want to be found tonight, and if you want that life to burst up from being in a place of death, if you want that new life to burst up inside, then there's one way. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. You know, tonight, could you bow your head? If those of you who are watching on Zoom, those of you who are at home, could you bow your head? Could you just say, Lord, I am a sinner. Could you think of some of the sins that you have committed in the past? Could you say, Lord Jesus, you know about how I have, whatever, told lies, filled in the forms wrong, cheated on my wife or my husband, done whatever. Lord, you know what I've done. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Could you turn to your loved one and say, look, you know the life that I've lived. I've been a bit like that prodigal son. I've lived for myself. Been a selfish life. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And could you say, Lord, I don't deserve any of your blessings. But if you and your love would save my soul, if you would come, I am the repentant sinner. Lord, I'm coming to you. He'll find you tonight. And he'll bring to life that which was dead tonight. And heaven will rejoice. Would you come to Jesus tonight? Would you come to the Holy Spirit tonight? Would you come to God the Father tonight? I think it's just thrilling that all three persons in the Trinity are absolutely longing for your salvation and earnestly desiring it. And if it were to happen, they would rejoice. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a wonderful chapter tonight, that God should rejoice when a sinner gets saved. The day that I came to Jesus, kneeling there in the prayer room in the Independent Methodist Church at Oma, with someone beside me, and as I prayed, to think that up there in heaven, God was happy, calling for a celebration. Jesus Christ was crying out, rejoice with me, rejoice with me. And the Holy Spirit was calling, rejoice with me. Because another lost sheep, another lost coin, another lost son has come home. Oh, has been found. Lord Jesus, we plead and pray that, Lord, that same joy may it be experienced tonight over someone even that has been listening to this very service. Lord, undertake. And Father, we pray for those who are saved. May it bless their own souls to think that heaven was so interested in their salvation that when they got saved, heaven rejoiced that they had been found and the dead had come to life. Loving Father, we praise your name. And so, oh God, we pray that you'll bless us tonight. As we separate, we pray that you'll go with us. And we pray that indeed you will undertake for us. And Lord, once again, we pray keep us all safe until we meet again. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you so much for coming, every one of you. And can I say again, if you can just leave from the back, row at a time, keep a distance. And then if you have a wee chat, have it outside, 2 meters apart. We're going to stay healthy. We have a couple of gospel missions coming up, and we want them to take place, and so we want to be part of that, so we'll do our part, all right? So if we could do that. Okay, thank you so much indeed, if you can leave from the back. Okay.